Magandang araw, Podmates! Howie Severino muli na nagpapaalala na nakakatalino ang mahabang attention span. Ang guest natin ngayon ay isang nature storyteller. Pero maaari ng ibansag na diwata ng kalikasan para sa TikTok generation. Sa totoong buhay, siya ay isang dating guro sa isang kolehiyo na nagtuturo na ngayon sa madla tungkol sa native trees at wildlife. Walang iba kundi si Celine Urillo. Maganda at makakalikasang araw sa iyo, Celine.
Maganda at makakalikasang araw din, Howie, at sa ating mga listeners.
Yeah. Celine, napaka makulay ng buhay mo, no? Just judging from what you post online. Pero dati kang college teacher, tulad ng nabanggit ko, no? Nagtuturo ka sa isang college sa Rizal Province. And then one day, no, nagpasya kayo ng asawa mong si Dennis Murillo na halos tumira na sa camper van ninyo at ikutin ang bansa or a big part of the country, no. Bakit nyo ginawa yung lifestyle na yan?
Yung ako kasi tsaka si Dennis, mahilig kaming mag-hike, mahilig kaming mag-travel. Tapos mahilig din kaming mag-picture-picture. And isa sa mga nangyayari pag nasa labas kami, usually the best time is during dawn or dusk. So we'd need to stay the whole day sa isang place. And yung idea ng camper van is because we wanted to stay in a place longer to get better photos.
Yeah. Yeah, and then may pangalan pa yung camper van yun, no? Si Eli, no?
Eli, oh.
So bakit Eli? Bakit nyo pinangalang Eli ang camper van?
Eli kasi isang Mitsubishi Delica. So from Delica, Eli.
Okay, before I ask about your subject matter, no, napakalawak at malalim, no? Itong lifestyle muna, no? You've been living out of your camper van. Pero may bahay din kayo, no? Nasa Sorsogon ka ngayon, Sorsogon Province, sa Bicol. So you have a base. So how many days in the month are you living out of your camper van at umiikot sa iba't ibang probinsya?
The longest time is na we lived full-time sa camper van kay Eli was 1.5 years. So almost 2 years kaming kay Eli lang nakatera. Then we went back here in Sorsogon.
So much of 2023 nakatira kayo sa isang camper van.
Yes, 2022 to 2023.
2022 to 2023. Over 1 year, yung ginawa yan.
Mm-mm.
So, for most of our listeners, you know, almost all of our listeners are probably live in, you know, conventional homes, no? They don't live on the road. Siguro nagtataka, no, paano nyo na minamanage to? I mean, syempre, isa sa mga unang pumapasok sa isip ng mga tao, paano yung banyo? I mean, do you have a bathroom in the camper van? Ano bang ginagawa nyo? Paano kayo naliligo? And, you know, just the basic daily, you know, personal obligations nyo.
So, meron kaming portable na toilet kay Eli. Pero hanggat hindi namin siya magagamitin, hindi namin siya gagamitin. So we make use of public toilets sa mga gas stations. Tapos when we go to waterfalls or mga beach resorts, sinasabay na din namin yung ligo para makatipid. So hindi kami araw-araw naliligo. That's...
Wow. Yeah. Well anyway, kayong dalawa lang naman magkasama, no? So you can just tiisin niyo lang yung isa't isa, but that's really interesting for a lot of people. Na nagawa niyo, I mean, for some people, kaya nilang gawin yan for maybe a couple of days, no? Yung ganyang klaseng road trip, a few days, maybe kayo more than a year. Yeah. So nagka-camping ba kayo, Celine? May mga dala kayong tents at camping gear or talagang sa loob lang kayo ng sasakyan natutulog?
Nagka-camping lang kami, nag-set up ng tent kapag gumaakyat ng bundok. Ang ginagawa namin, naghahanap kami ng mapaparkingan. So usually, sa ano yun, dun sa area ng, halimbawa, ng bundok, malapit dun sa jump-off. So nagpapaalam kami kung pwede kami dun makipark. So dun kami nag-stay. Pero sa loob pa rin ni Eli kami natutulog.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another question that many may be wondering is about is paano yung safety ninyo? Natatakot ba kayo para sa inyong seguridad? Or do you really carefully choose everywhere you go? Ano bang precautions ninyo?
Nung nagsisimula pa lang kami, so hindi pa namin alam kung paano yung mga diskarte. Somewhere in Camarines Norte, nag-park kami. Tapos, ang una namin ginagawa, nagpapaalam kami sa mga locals na malapit. So, nagpaalam kami. Then, gabi na, natutulog na kami. Naka-close na si Eli, ganyan. Naka-set up na yung bed. Tapos, may kumatok. It was the same local na pinagpaalam namin. Na nagpaalam kami. Tapos, sabi niya, meron daw siyang mga kasama. So, kinabahan kami. Tapos yung pala, isa siyang tanod dun sa barangay. Sinabihan niya yung mga kasama niya na nandun kami. Tapos nag-worry din siguro yung mga kasama niya. So, sinabihan kami na lipat na lang kami sa barangay hall na malapit lang din naman sa area. So, from then, pag nasa bagong lugar kami, una namin pinupuntahan ay yung barangay hall. Nagsasabi kami na pwede po ba kaming mag-overnight parking sa area kasi gusto namin picturean. Yan, nagpapasabi na rin kami. Ganun. So, yung technique.
Ah, okay, that's interesting. Kasi after listening to you and and watching your videos, baka may mga gustong gumaya, no? Or meron na ba? Meron na bang gusto mag-adapt ng ganyang lifestyle na babalitaan mo?
I think meron na ding mga ilan-ilan na gumagawa. Meron akong nabalitaan yung jeep. Jeep naman sila, imbis na van. Still going around the country din.
Oh, sweet. Well, okay, one final question lang about this lifestyle, no? So you natutulog kayo madalas sa loob ng sasakyan. Hindi mo mainit? I'm sure hindi naka-on yung sasakyan nyo at saka yung aircon ng sasakyan nyo the whole time, no? So in most places you go to lowlands, no? Hindi mainit, no? So paano nyo na nagagawa yon? Paano nyo natitiis?
Marami kaming mga portable fans around Eli. Siguro 3 to 4. Well, actually, 4. Yeah, 4. Tapos yun, para lang yung ventilation okay. Tapos pagka okay yung lugar, binubuksan din namin ng konti yung bintana. At tapos merong exhaust si Eli sa bubong. Kaya okay yung flow ng hangin.
Okay, so nung nag-uumpisa kayo, no? So you may pareho kayong mahilig sa the visual media, no? Photography and video, and then nag-on-cam narration din kayong dalawa doon sa loob ng van during the trips, and then pag naka nag ano kayo na nasa lupa na kayo, no? Nasa nag-shoot na kayo. Nag-start kayo, you shooting mostly landscapes. It was more like a travel vlog, no? But more recently, nag-transition ka to do producing videos primarily on native species, native trees, and some native plants and native birds, no?
Yes.
Why?
I feel like na mas malalim yung pagkilala sa isang lugar when you know what's in there. We often go to yun nga mga gubat at mga bundok. Personally, mas satisfying getting to know the place when you know kung sino yung mga nandun, kung ano yung mga nandun. And aside from that, gusto ko kasi talagang makilala ng mga Pilipino kung ano yung meron tayo. Maraming Pilipino ang alam, sinabi mong cherry blossom, kahit hindi pa nila nakikita, alam nila kung ano yung itsura, kahit hindi nila nakikita sa personal. Pero pag sinabi mong malabulak or salinggogon, hindi nila alam, hindi nila alam na puno yon, na native yon sa atin. So, yung pag-transition to creating short form video is a response to that na ipakilala yung sariling atin na can go toe-to-toe with foreign species na mas kilala sa mainstream media.
So, kailan nag-umpisa itong interest mo sa mga katutubong puno, no? Native trees and then native plants. Noon-noon pa to when you were already shooting landscapes and wildlife on the road, or this is a more recent interest?
Kasabay siya nung ano nung pag-hike namin. Na pag may nakikitang bulaklak, ganyan or halaman. Yun ako curious ako, meron pala di, meron palang ganito sa Pilipinas, ganun. Tapos since very into decolonization din ako. So I feel like that's a part of it, decolonizing biodiversity, by getting to know our local biodiversity, our natural heritage. And by doing that, yung the way we approach, halimbawa, yung conservation would be more localized, more appropriate sa bansa natin. Kasi the way we've been doing it is just based on what's been happening sa ibang bansa na usually hindi naman applicable sa Pilipinas dahil unang-una iba yung weather system natin, yung climate natin. Yun. So, I feel like by getting to know our local biodiversity, magaan siya eh, magsasanga-sanga. And magiging mas malapit tayo sa nature and magre-reflect yun sa values natin and how we live our lives.
So, sabi mo, one of your goals is decolonization, no? Mag-decolonize. Anong ibig mong sabihin?
Yung decolonization, ano siya eh, kasi much of the Philippines' history is kolonyalismo. Very rarely yung alam natin, pre-colonial. And part of that, nung sinakop tayo ng iba't ibang mga dayuhan, dinala din nila yung mga plants nila. So maraming introduced species. And dahil doon, yung mga kilala ng mga Pilipino, yung mga introduced. So na-appropriate, na-subsume yung mga local plants natin. And gusto kong, through getting to know our local biodiversity, I want the Filipinos to know that, meron tayong history before being colonized. Meron tayong heritage before these foreigners come into to our country.
Yeah, kasi that's a cultural goal, no? Yung pagde-decolonize, no? At the same time, you have a conservation goal, di ba? So parang nagsabayan, no? You don't just want your viewers and listeners to know that we had all of these plants and wildlife even before, foreigners came from Europe, but you want these species to continue living, di ba? Or
Yes.
to revive their numbers, no? Pero dun sa tagline mo sa TikTok, no? Sabi mo you want to mainstream Philippine biodiversity. Why? What do you mean by mainstreaming Philippine biodiversity? Wala pa ba sa mainstream ngayon?
I feel from observing yung media natin, compared to a few years ago, mas may awareness na about our local species, our local biodiversity. Pero I wouldn't say na nasa mainstream pa din. Kasi people still recognize foreign species better than our local species. So what I want to do is to make it part of our consciousness na tipong hindi na siya bago sa atin, na hindi yung ginagawa ko hindi na siya maging to the point hindi na siya special kasi lahat tayo alam na natin yung mga katutubong kahoy, mga katutubong halaman in the same way that we know about cherry blossoms, that we recognize a lion kahit wala namang lion sa Pilipinas, that we recognize tigers.
And then you started a series on the species on our money, no? Ang tawag mo doon ay Sari Buhay sa Salapi, no? Hindi alam ng marami siguro na may mga native species tayo ng mga halaman at hayop, no? Sa pera natin, no? O nakikita lang natin doon pero hindi natin masyado napapag-isipan, no? Una yung salitang Sari Buhay. This is a translation of biodiversity, no? Pero ang
Yes.
narinig ko madalas yung samut-saring buhay, no? Yung sari buhay ba, did you coin this or where did this word come from?
Hindi ko siya kinain. Nung sa ASEAN Center for Biodiversity, naririnig ko silang ginagamit yung Sari Buhay for as Tagalog translation of biodiversity. So, yun. From there, inadapt ko na rin siya. Sari Buhay.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's shorter, it's catchier than Samutsaring Buhay na medyo mahaba, no? So it's I guess it's like calling biodiversity biodive, no? Medyo mahaba kasi yung biodiversity. So anyway, bakit tinalakay mo tong mga species na nasa pera natin?
Lahat kasi tayo may barya, 'di ba? So, lahat ng barya na nahahawakan ng Pilipino. So, I feel like it's a good entry point to introduce our native species kasi pag pinag-usapan natin siya, yung mga tao would be like, "Uy, yung ano, meron palang halaman sa likod ng 5 piso or may halaman pala sa likod ng piso." Accessible, it makes the concept of biodiversity accessible to the general public kasi money is everyone's concern. So yun, I thought about doing yung Sari Buhay sa Salapi to get the interest of the general public.
At yung isang feature mo ay yung Medinilla Magnifica, no? Ano yung common name nito?
Kapa-kapa.
Kapa-kapa kasi may parang may kapa siya, no?
Yes.
I actually have a few of those in my garden, no?
Wow.
It's endemic. Sinabi mo nga, it's endemic. Endemic ba o native?
Yes,
It's
it is endemic in the
endemic. Ibig
Philippines.
sabihin, only in the Philippines. Kahit sa ibang bansa sa Southeast Asia, wala yan, no? So talagang sa Pilipinas. Well, you know, I have them in my garden, not just because it's endemic, but napakagandang halaman, no? Kasi sa pera natin, hindi mo makikita yung kulay, obviously, no? Nasa coin kasi yan, eh, no? Pero nung ipinakita mo, yung napaka-brilliant red, or how would you describe the color?
Pink.
It's, hindi siya red, eh. Ano ba? Parang pinkish almost, no? Red pink, light red yung
Vibrant pink.
vibrant yon. And then yun nga, may yung iyo, yung pinakita mo may kapa. Yung mga halaman ko rito, wala pa sila mga kapa, eh. They're fairly young plants, no? Pero yon, I'm sure that was a revelation for a lot of people, no? Ano yung nagiging reaction sa mga ganong klaseng halaman, yung mga pini-feature mo?
Dun sa kapa-kapa, particularly, I had comments na sinasabi nila, ay, akala ko grapes. Akala ko baliktad na puso ng saging. Akala ko mais. Ganon, ganon yung mga comments. So, parang ano yung affirmation for me to continue doing not just the series, but also the other short form content. Kasi minsan naririnig lang natin, tapos hindi natin alam yung itsura. Isa pang example, yung Jade Vine. Kami ni Dennis, akala namin, parang common knowledge siya na maraming Pilipino yung alam kung ano yung Jade Vine. Tapos when I posted yung Sari Buhay sa Salapi na 5 piso featuring Jade Vine, ang daming nagko-comment pa rin na, uy, ngayon lang ako nakakita niyan. May ganyan pala sa Pilipinas. So, yun, the awareness talaga could be improved. And I'm happy that my work is contributing to that.
And then medyo mababa ang awareness because hindi masyadong madalas nakikita yung mga halamang ito sa mga garden, yung mga resort, no? Tama ba 'yon? Or well, ako kasi I've seen these plants. Kasi mahilig ako sa halaman. So yung ordinaryong tao, ang sinasabi mo, they don't it's hard for them to see these plants. Hindi sila masyadong visible compared to other kinds of plants. Kahit napakaganda ng jade vine. Iba yung kulay ng jade vine, no? Parang, yun nga, may turquoise, no? Iba yung kulay. Parang unique yung kulay niya, no? And yung Medinilla din has a certain uniqueness din sa larangan ng mga halaman.
That's true. Kaya din sinasabi ko na mainstreaming, kasi by mainstreaming, by raising the awareness that we have these kinds of animals and plants, merong magtataas yung interest to cultivate and to revive at paramihin. Kasi ngayon, ang kilala, halos kilala sa ornamental industry, yung mga foreign species, when in truth, we have so many local species that can be cultivated, that's perfect for gardens, for landscaping. Yan, isa na nga dun yung Medinilla at Tayabak at Jade Vine.
Well, speaking of foreign species, no, yung isang foreign species ng halaman na sumikat lalo na nung pandemya, yung Monstera, no. Nakita natin sa mga social media feeds natin, may mga celebrity na bumibili na mga variegated Monstera or yung mga ibang klaseng foreign species for large amounts, no? Baka hindi nga nila alam na foreign 'yon, or baka kaya mas pinapahalagahan 'yon dahil para imported, no? Alam mo naman yung colonial mentality nga natin na mas mahalaga or mas sikat yung imported na kahit anong bagay, no? Kasama na yung mga halaman. But you are emphasizing in your content the value of natives, and in fact, they're even rarer, no? Yung Monstera, you will see Monsteras and philodendrons, which is also a non-native plant. No? You'll see them in a lot of garden stores, plant stores. You'll see them in a lot of gardens in general, no? Pero yung isang finiture mo, which is actually one of my favorite plants, no? Yung tibatib, no? Yung Epipremnum pinatum,
Pinatum, yes.
which and you said that it looks like Monstera, no? And pero you pointed out the differences, no? And but one major difference is hindi mo makikita yung tibatib sa mga garden stores. Hindi yan madalas binebenta, no? Kasi it's so it well, I don't know. Hindi ko lang kung common siya, no? But for me, I see it so often, no? Kasi napapansin ko yan sa pag nagha-hiking or gumagapang yan sa maraming klaseng puno, no? Kahit sa mga coconut trees, gumagapang yan, no? Pero hindi siya desired as a plant kung ikukumpara mo sa Monstera, kahit magkawig sila, no? It looks like the Monstera Deliciosa in particular, di ba? Oo. So I'm glad you featured the tibatib and you actually unpacked it, no? You kind of showed us the different parts of it, no? Pero why is that? Na kamukha niya yung isang desired plant na foreign, pero ito native, and I'm sure it could be much more affordable, no? Kung binebenta lang siya, and it's easy to propagate. You don't have to poach it from the forest, no? But you can grow it from cuttings lang. Bakit kaya hindi masyadong accessible, hindi masyado siyang desired as a garden plant?
Siguro connected dun sa pinag-usapan natin kanina na yung colonial mentality na foreign is better. And also, si Monstera, maganda yung PR niya. So na-PR siya na ganito, na it's a very beautiful plant. Na maganda rin naman yung tibatib. So I think tibatib just needs a better PR marketing. And yun nga, as you said, easier to cultivate. And I'm sure it will be more affordable pagka binenta sa market. Pero sa provinces, nakikita ko siyang ginagamit siyang pang-decorate sa mga events. So, imbes na yung mga plastic decoration sa mga schools in the province, they use it to decorate the stage.
You're right, no? Magandang gawing decor, no? And it's so abundant in a lot of places na hindi naman siya threatened siguro, no? Na kung gamitin siya ng gamitin as an ornamental, hindi naman siguro matitreaten yung kanyang existence. Hindi tulad ng ibang halaman na makikita lang sa iba't ibang gubat, no? So, and it's also a way of raising awareness about them. Also, mahal gumamit ng imported pag magde-decorate ka lang ng stage, di ba? As opposed to something like the tibatib na kasing ganda naman ng mga imported tulad ng Monstera, no? Nabanggit ko kanina yung scientific name ng tibatib, no? Epipremnum pinatum. And you make it a point to say the scientific names of these various native species, no? Lalo na yung trees and plants. Why is it important for you to do that? Kasi there might be some viewers who will react na, oh, nosebleed naman yung mga sinasabi ni Celine, no? Bakit hindi na lang sabihin na tibatib, parang dinadagdagan pa ng mahabang pangalan, yung epiphreme ng pinato, manghirap tandaan, para talagang teacher to si Celine, no? So why do that?
There are two things. Una-una, dahil while yung mga local names like Tibatib is important culturally and important to the conversation, importante na malaman natin siya. Mahalaga na we have names for these plants in our local language. Pero kasi, the way with local names, minsan, sa isang local name, nagka-clump yung iba't ibang individual species. For example, sa tikling, we call a lot of rails, yung ibon na rail, tikling, lahat sila. Pero maraming iba't ibang uri ng tikling. There's barred rail, there's legged rail, ganyan. Tapos, I indicate the scientific name to indicate to a specific species. Para mas accurate, mas science-based. So that's the second reason why I mention also the scientific name. Kasi minsan nagkakalito-lito pagka yung local name lang yung sinabi mo. Mamaya, halimbawa, lalo nagsasabi ako na edible yung isang halaman, meron palang local name sa isang lugar, nakapareho ng local name niya, tapos poisonous pala yung bunga nun. So, indicating the scientific name will be more accurate at mas specific.
Yeah, kasi there's really only one scientific name for a species worldwide, di ba? That's part of the science of taxonomy. Whereas common names, bawat probinsya, baka iba yung tawag doon. You're right, so it can be confusing and it could even be dangerous, no? Pag sinabi mong edible itong klaseng halaman and then poisonous pala yon pag sa ibang pangalan sa ibang probinsya, no? So I mean it could actually be misleading in terms of the advice you give about particular plants if you only go by the common names kasi bawat lugar
yes
nagbabago yung iba-iba yung common name, no? Yeah, so so napansin ko na itong TikTok mo, no? Of course you started it long after you started your YouTube channel, right? Yung biyahe niyo ni Dennis. Pero decision niyo bang dalawa na itong gagawin natin sa TikTok, ikaw lang Selena, hindi ako kasama diyan. Kasi doon sa YouTube channel, he was like your co-presenter, co-host, no? Parang your real partnership there. Pero dito, itong mga native species na pinipicture mo sa TikTok, ikaw lang talaga yung nagpe-present.
Hindi namin siya pinag-usapan ng talagang, ako lang ah. Parang nag-evolve na lang siya throughout. Kasi doon sa long-form videos namin sa YouTube, siya yung sa landscape, ako talaga yung sa wildlife. So pag about wildlife yung episode, mas ako yung nagpe-present. Pag landscape, mas siya. So nung nag-decide kami mag-TikTok, parang insik na, sige, ikaw na lang yung magsalita. Nung una, actually, hindi ako kasama dun sa mga videos. Medyo more on parang Nat Geo, BBC Earth yung format ng video. Parang ano lang, yung halimbawa, yung ibon lang, tapos mag-voice over lang ako. Tapos later on, we got feedback na, you should show more, explain more, ganyan. Tapos yun, nung I started showing myself with the plant or with the animal, tapos speaking in Tagalog, dun mas tumaas yung views.
Why do you think so?
I think because me, being side by side or being in that location, makes it more relatable. So in a way, parang ako sila, ako yung viewer and mas accurate yung may sense of comparison. Okay, ganun yung itsura niya pag hinahawakan, ganun kalaki. Ganun tumatangkad pala siya ng ganun kalaki. So mas na-visualize nila yung itsura talaga ng halaman kasi I'm there for comparison. So I think that's also one of the the special characteristic of my video kasi I'm actually with the halaman or with the bird or with the animal.
And your videos are a production, ano? Pinoproduce siya. In other words, meron kang tiga-shoot, and I presume that's Dennis, right? Kasi gumagalaw yung camera, so it's hand, much of it is handheld, no? And then ine-edit siya, so and then may mga may mga production, post-production techniques ka na mapapansin ng mga katulad ko, no? Mga kasama ko sa TV. Yon ay I suppose you just develop those skills over time kasi nagkaroon kayo ng YouTube channel. And but it takes time, no? We know how hard it is to produce a good video. So you spend a lot of time doing this.
Yeah, pero compared sa long form video namin sa YouTube, this is more easeful. Mas madali siyang gawin. Dun sa YouTube namin, ang daming edits. Tapos it takes 2 to 3 days to make one video. Pero dito sa short form content, in half a day, we can film 2 to 4 videos. Tapos yung pag-edit niya sa phone lang, a few hours for one video. Tapos akala nung iba yung maraming angles, marami kaming phones. Pero kinakat lang namin yung script tapos inuulit lang yung pag-ikot sa camera para mukhang multi-camera yung setup.
Well, so si Dennis yon. Si Dennis yung nag-shoot.
Lumilipat-lipat siya.
Yeah, okay. And then doon sa extra mo, lagi mong sinasabi na, don't grab without permission. Sinasabi mo, if you want to help, share this video, but don't grab without permission. I mean, is that ano? Madalas bang you had to say that because nagkaroon ng trend na people were using your video without permission?
Nag-come up yun kasi nung konti pa lang yung ginagawa kong video, merong isang account sa Instagram who posted one of my videos and got a lot more views than me, than the original upload. Honestly, ano lang yun eh, parang ego response lang. As an artist, I wanted the views and the credit. Pero later on, tinanggal ko kasi siya eh, sa mga ibang recent videos ko. Pero sabi ni Dennis, hindi, balik mo kasi ano, call to action din siya. Hindi naman din tayo humihingi ng iba. Parang in that simple way by sharing that video, di ba? They will help continue my work.
Well, speaking of which, no, you call this your work, no? But is it a livelihood also? I mean, paano, I mean, yung call to action mo, it's not to donate or to sponsor. It's wag mo lang nakawin, no? So, how do you fund these trips and this production, no? I mean, if you're both on the road, you're spending on gasoline and then your time, no? You resigned from your teaching job, and Dennis is with you this whole time. I'm sure people are wondering, no, about this very practical concern, no? And how do you get by? I mean, how do you finance these trips?
Well, ngayon ang main source of ano talaga namin livelihood would be yung mga freelance work namin. So I contribute to magazines, I also write. Tapos we apply for grants to create these videos, this content. Then, yun, content creations for several biodiversity and nature-related organization. So through my body of work, ito yung nagiging portfolio ko. Kaya it's important to keep the original, to share the original video para makita ng mga future funder na, oh, okay, ganito pala. Yun. So just by sharing the video, nakakatulong sila sa amin na makakuha pa ng funds para matuloy yung work.
Okay. So you get sponsors, no? And then grants. Pero namo-monetize nyo ba itong mga videos? I know on YouTube, they monetize, they share in revenue, but TikTok wala pa, no?
TikTok
TikTok
wala.
earns from your content and from everyone else's content. Kung ano yung kinikita nila, sa kanila lang yon, right?
Oo. So sa ang monetized na platforms namin ay YouTube tsaka yung Facebook ko. Instagram and TikTok hindi siya monetized.
I see. I'm sure maraming nagtatanong sa iyo, no? And I noticed that many ask you for advice, no? You're a storyteller, no? But you don't present yourself as an expert, right? Parang to give expert advice on plant care, or alam ko marami nagtatanong, ano ba yung bagay na puno dito sa ganyan, na sa subdivision, ano ba pwedeng itanim na you do give advice, no? Pero hindi ganun ka-technical, no? So
Yes. So, yun, sabi mo nga, I present myself as a storyteller. I never claim to be an expert or a botanist or an ecologist, although I work with a lot of them and my work is built on their work. And I consult many ecologists and botanists, ornithologists to make my work more factual and accurate. When I get those requests, pagka hindi ko kaya, I refer them to the experts. So there was one this one person na who asked what to do with na parang may infection yung mga trees niya. And native trees pa naman. So sabi ko, I don't know what you can contact Dr. Pat Malabrigo, who's an expert in tree care in native trees. Yun. So I refer them to the experts.
Okay, sa mga taong nagkakaroon ng interest nga sa native trees and plants at gustong gamitin yung knowledge nila, no, para magtanim, no, how can they get started?
I would say read up, educate themselves about the yung ano nga yung mga native trees natin. Tapos, second would be to join the Philippine Native Trees Enthusiast Facebook group. Because in that group, there are experts as well as yung mga enthusiasts na meron ng proof of concept na nagawa nila yung ganitong klase ng setup na puro native trees yung nakatanim. Tapos nandun din yung mga seedling, source ng seedlings. May mga nursery owners and growers din tayo dun sa group na yun. Dun, marami silang pwedeng matutunan dun sa group na yun. So I think that would be the next step if they want to plant more native trees.
Yeah, in one of your videos, you also said you have to know your environment, di ba? Kailang alamin yung anong klaseng soil yung meron ka sa property mo. But you
Species
know,
site matching.
yeah, oh, species matching, and then yung importance of having diversity, di ba? But yung tungkol sa environment, no? I mean, that's not easy, you know? I mean, paano mo aalamin yung quality ng soil mo? No, so you take a soil sample and you send it to a lab. Paano bang what's or can you tell from just looking at the soil kung bagay yung isang uri ng puno sa kanya?
Based from what I've learned from the experts, you can malalaman mo kung ano yung mga halaman na tutubo by actually observing kung ano na yung nandun. So that's the first step. Do a survey of the plants that's already growing there. Kasi for sure sila yung okay dun sa location na yun. And it's a matter of determining kung ano yung native and not native. Tapos from that survey of existing plants, you can then parang kung yung parehong genus, pwede mong himay-himayin yun. So I think yun dun sa soil, I think that's a technical question na better answered by an actual expert.
So dun sa mga ibang videos mo na you talk about not just native trees but even some species which are not native, in particular yung mahogany na makikita mo sa napakaraming lugar. I mean, that's even more siguro more common than a lot of native species, than most native species, no? You tell your viewers that it's not, and it's not really even good for the environment, kasi sinabi mo nga na it's not good for native wildlife, it's not good for other native plant and tree species, etc., no? So ano yung advice mo kung nandiyan na? Cut them down?
Tricky question siya kasi even cutting down trees would require you to ask a permit, apply for a permit
Yeah.
para maputol sila. So I wouldn't say na hindi, putulin niyo na agad kasi baka mahabla pa sila or mapasama pa yung mahabol pa sila ng DNR. So I would say pagka ganun, look at other people who have done, who have transformed mahogany plantation into a Philippine native tree arboretum. For example, yung sa Nabuntaran Native Tree Enthusiast sa Davao de Oro, yung arboretum nila used to be a mahogany plantation. Tapos, in just a few years, they were able to transform it into an arboretum of native trees. And people who want to do the same can ask advice from them kasi itong mga taong to, nagawa na nila in actuality. So they could give better advice on how to do the same.
So kaya rin dumami yung mga mahogany, no, which experts and storytellers like yourself say now are not good for the environment. It's because dinistribution ng gobyerno, they were part of a government, you know, reforestation program. So ngayon in retrospect mukhang mali yon, no. So marami kasi sigurong nakikita, you know, aside from, you know, the splendor of Philippine environment and biodiversity, marami ka rin nakikita ang problema, no? And beyond that, even mga kasalanan, no? Do you ever get angry? I mean, you're always smiling in your videos and you're always upbeat, no? Pero I'm sure marami ka rin nakikita na nakakainis, nakakagalit, do you ever feel tempted to like criticize? Like talagang, you know, call out those who are at fault in terms of, you know, I mean, for accountability, or you don't feel that's part of your role?
I think it's part of our role, my role as a storyteller, to ask for accountability and demand better services from our government, especially yung mga in charge sa environmental matters. But at the same time, I think it would be more productive to parang offer solutions. Like, yung dun, halimbawa sa mahogany, the problem with that is because yung body of knowledge when that program was applied or started, when that program started, hindi siya updated to what we know now. So what I'm trying to say is, parang responsibility ng mga governing body to update their knowledge based on what we know now. And what we know is the right trees for reforestation and forest regeneration is always native trees. So, yeah, I think if I will call out the DNR or governing bodies or LGUs, it's in the line of update your body of knowledge, update your information kasi it's available. Ako nga, alam ko eh. So you, dapat alam niyo din. It's part of your mandate to update your knowledge para mas makatulong at mas makapagserbisyo ng maayos sa kalikasan at sa mga tao.
Alam mo, madalas kong marinig, no, na from friends and acquaintances na, alam mo, gusto ko rin sana maging plantito, gusto kong magtanim din, magharden, kaso wala akong green thumb. You know, wala akong green thumb. Matay lang, mainit ang kamay. And you hear this a lot, no? Ano ba? God-given ba yung green thumb or what? I mean, success or effectiveness as a, I don't know, propagator or gardener, yung nag-aalaga ng halaman. Ano ba yan? Is a green thumb a gift or is it earned? Learned.
I think, ano, meron talagang mga tao na talented na magpatubo ng halaman. Pero from experience, naaaral siya. Pwede mo siyang matutunan. Like everything else, pwede mo siyang matutunan. Pero sadyang merong mga tao na mas natural, na mas easy for them to grow things. Pero pag gusto, may paraan.
Okay. More recently, I don't know if this is really more recently, you know, pero yung may mga recent content ka tungkol sa birds, no? Halimbawa, one I saw recently was about the Northern Indigo Band, Kingfisher. Ang gandang ibon,
Yes.
no? And it's native, of course. Endemic ba? Endemic, no? Only in the
Yes,
Philippines?
in a minute.
You know, yeah, it's
Yes.
only in the Philippines, no? Maliit lang, pero yung dahil nakunan mo siya ng video at litrato, makikita mo talaga yung ganda niya, no? So, how different is it filming birds compared to documenting plants, trees, no? Kasi alam ko may mga documentarians, may photographers who really specialize in birds, no? And you and your husband have been doing this maybe much longer than what I've seen. So, paano mo i-compare yon? Kasi are they very different from each other? Is it much more difficult, documenting birds compared to documenting, trees and plants which won't fly away?
Yeah. Oo, grabe, sobrang different sila. Kaya I tell people na I don't put out bird content as often because they're harder to film than plants na hindi lumilipad pag nilapitan mo. Tsaka kami din kasi ni Dennis, kasi some photographer and videographer use supplementary like techniques. Halimbawa, they use calls para lumapit yung ibon. And hindi namin yung ginagawa kasi it can disrupt the natural behavior of the bird. So kami, kung ano lang yung makita namin, yun lang yung na-film namin, yun lang yung na-document namin. Kaya mas mahirap siya kasi yung halaman, yung halimbawa yung puno, alam mo kung nasan siya eh, so pwede mo siyang balik-balikan. Yung ibon, halimbawa lumabas lang siya dun sa may bato, tapos pagbalik mo mamaya, wala na. So wala ka ng content. Yan. So, swertihan lang. So, yung trees and plants, mas deliberate. So, mas purposeful yung pag-film. Pero pagdating sa birds and other wildlife, mas ano siya, chance. Based on chance talaga.
Well, of course, magkaiba yung mission niyo, no, sa ibang birders, kasi there are birders, and I know many birders. Meron talaga silang goal na makita yung particular species, di ba? Lalo na yung mga nanggagaling pa sa ibang bansa. Pero ikaw, yung style nyo, kung ano man lang yung makita nyo, it's more of a chance encounter rather than talagang sasadyain mong hanapin yung Northern Indigo Band Kingfisher, no? Dahil 2 linggo ka lang nasa Pilipinas, kailangan mong makita yan. That's why you will play a recording of that
Yeah.
bird para ma-attract siya. Pero kayo, yung halimbawa, yung kingfisher na yon, aksidente lang yon, right? I mean, hinanap nyo ba talaga siya or nakita nyo na lang?
Alam namin na merong ganun dun sa area sa Bulusan Lake. Pero hindi namin siya hinanap. Nagkataon lang na nandun siya. So, tara, film natin.
Okay. One final question, Celine, no? Anong pinakamahalagang aral na napulot mo sa iyong ginagawa bilang isang nature storyteller?
Yung pinakamahalaga na natutunan ko ay yung pagkilala mo ang isang bagay, mas may tendency ka na mahalin at ipaglaban yung well-being o yung welfare ng bagay na ito. And that's the reason kung bakit ginagawa ko to kasi I hope na by getting to know more about our local biodiversity, our local trees and birds and animals, the Filipinos would be moved to remember our deep connection to the natural world. They will love it more and they will be called to protect it and advocate for it.
Okay, that's wise and a good message to end on. Maraming salamat sa iyo, Celine Murillo, TikTok nature storyteller. Mabuhay ka.
Salamat. Salamat, Howie.
Hi, I'm Howie Severino. Check out the Howie Severino podcast. New episodes will stream every Thursday. Listen for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other platforms.